Blog Talk Radio.
It's the sort of thing better than diamond rings. That's why we're here to sing football. Sunday in the snow, referee's whistle blows. Weekend warriors toe to toe. Football. Football. Football.
Unfortunately, no one can be told what the Matrix is.
Like water. Be water, my friend.
This is T-Matrix. You can check us out at blogtalkradio.com. Show is also streaming live, blogtalkradio.com. You can also check us out on the brand new website, flyfootballamerica.com, off the Sports Engine app. Momentous occasion. This is the 100th episode. If you go back, blogtalkradio.com/flyfootball, you'll see 100 episodes. There's actually a sort of mini episode kind of sandwiched in there between there called the Monday Morning Quarterback. This program will end what I like to call phase one of the program because, in a sense, The podcast has done its job. We've launched the sport of the future. We're into the next millennium. Flag football is thriving. The Philadelphia Flag Football League is in its 14th season. The universe, as I like to call it, the Flag Football Cinematic Universe, has expanded now. It's now all over America, so we're not just contained in Philly. It's flagfootballamerica.com. So this is a show that's really going to move us into the 14th season, but move us out of phase one. Show is not going anywhere, just in a different format, just as anything, times change with social media, with all these new ways that we can access the players in which the players can access us. It's just, it's time. So it seems the most, you know, momentous occasion to do it. So what we'll do is hit week one, we'll actually preview the season in a sense, kind of mini preview it in a sense, go through the teams, 10 teams strong, season number 14, all going for the Marshall Cup. Then we'll sort of just move into sort of laying out how the season will lay out, a couple changes here and there. But as always, we'll be back next week after week two. But just sort of putting out there that, yeah, this is the 100th episode. Kind of go through, you know, I'll end the show off kind of a little history. But we won't be long tonight. We'll sort of just hit all the scores or the highlights. I will take a call or two, particularly if there's something about the podcast you like, don't like. If there's a suggestion you have for the change in format. And like I said, the show will be on every week, just in a different, slightly different venue. So what we'll do is, I hope to have the Flag Football Advisory Board at some point in time, but they go nowhere. They're always here every week. So what we'll do is hopefully they'll can check in with SDOT and the commission, just see where everybody's at. But one thing, too, another thing is, as always, new franchises in the league. I'll kind of go through those new teams. But with this league sort of being around a while, you get new franchises, but it's always sort of a splinter or, like I said, like an alternate universe where one player plays with one team and splits off to another. So, you know, like I said, I think it's exciting. I mean, just for those of you who kind of lost track of what happened back in the fall, the Bar captured their fifth championship, their second back-to-back. If you look at the sort of the landscape now, everyone's sort of chasing them. They're the rabbit to chase. You know, SBD's out there. They're always a contender in a sense. But if you think back history-wise, yeah, Dom, the first player in the league, they're still trying to put that together. There's been a bunch of movements from team to team, as always, free agency moves. Eagles, as always, after a crushing loss in the playoffs, looking to kind of re-engage. But it's sort of clear that the Bar is simply the team to catch. You know, in the past, and, you know, even if we go back a little bit history-wise, you know, FNF kind of put them on another plateau or forced them, but their whole crew is back with Silky and Vato and Chica. So interesting change of events there. But let's do this. Let's bring in Joe C. I don't see any other members of the Flag Football Advisory Board here with me now. But let's bring in Joe C. And like I said, you know, Joe's been on the show now. I think it's probably his seventh, eighth show. I know he came in a little bit when the negotiations with El Nino broke down. And, you know, we sort of started negotiations with him to sort of bring him into phase two. And, you know, he's definitely brought an honest, unique perspective. He plays part of NWO. So I know we've always sort of not put him in a situation where, you know, his loyalties are sort of questioned. But always has sort of just been there as an observer. It's sort of good to have a player, you know, outside of Gordon, just to give us really what's going on at the ground level and how the players are feeling. So why don't we bring him in first? Joe C., welcome to the 100th episode, the 100th podcast. How are you tonight? Don't know if we have Joe. We'll see if he's he might have stepped off for a moment. Let's see if we can bring him back. There's a little issue with the board. Let's go back. Let's see if we got him now. Joe C., you are live on the podcast. How are you?
Hey, what's up, Team Matrix? How you doing, man? Happy Easter, buddy.
Hey, you too, you too. Hey, sorry about the disconnect last week. You know, Gordon up to his old tricks, but sorry about the disconnect there on the show. But, I mean, what do you think? 14th season, let's just go back a step, because obviously, you know, I really want to talk to you about NWO for a minute. What's your thoughts on the bar capture in their fifth championship, their second repeat?
Oh, man, congratulations to them, man. It was a good game. It was a good game, but... you know, we're coming for them again this season, and, you know, a lot of the teams look amped up. I know a lot of the teams made some major upgrades, so we'll see how long they can do it.
I mean, being a season removed, obviously, in the sense that not a full season, but just a half season removed. I mean, go back to that game. I mean, what was the key, I guess, to them winning, or what if you had to go back again and kind of break down NWO's performance, what's your thought in recalling that game back and kind of prepping for the season?
Oh, man, it was a tough game, you know. When we lost Brandon at quarterback, you know, then we were forced to move Jeff into that. We kind of lose two spots. So, you know, we lose Jeff as a receiver and you know, we lose Brandon's arm and Brandon's speed back there. But we'll be all right. We'll be all right. You know, there's a lot of misfires. You know, they were just a better team than we were that day.
You know, and you bring up an interesting point, because coming into the game, you know, he had, you know, Brandon hadn't played quarterback, I believe, in the playoff game to get you into the Super Flag Bowl. So, I mean, was he just simply physically incapable of sort of playing quarterback even into the game or in that game? I mean, he just physically couldn't do it?
Yeah, his shoulder, and he just couldn't do it. And, you know, he's as big a competitor as anybody, so if he was able to, he would have, but, you know, we were better at that point with Jeff as Q. You know, we lost a big receiver, and, you know, it didn't work out for us that day.
All right, so let's go through the teams real quick, because we'll take a call, too. Like I said, I'm kind of just going to kind of interject. Like I said, this is the 100th episode. I'll kind of go back. You can listen to every show. If you go to blogtalkradio.com, if you go to the bottom section there, there's sort of just, you can even sort the episodes by chronological order in terms of oldest first. Go back, listen to that first show. Like I said, we've had lots of hosts, sort of not lots of hosts, but lots of different co-hosts rotate through the show, tons of guests. I mean, if you go back in those older shows, you'll hear the first interview with Dom and the first interview with Steve Rich and a lot of good post-championship interviews. Joe, quick question. Who won the first Super Flag Bowl? Do you know the name of that franchise?
Was it E-Money?
E-Money. E-Money. And
was it E-Money?
Yes, it was E-Money.
Yeah, yep.
And we got to keep that name out there because, like I said, Dom, maybe there's a handful. McDev, Dom, Steve Rich, Mark. No, they're the only ones who knew of E-Money. So I want to keep that name out there because they're literally, it's almost like in the natural, where they had the season, they won the championship, and literally, they were never heard from again. Not returned, they wouldn't, you know, turn phone calls, although I think so. I know it's a financial institution, but it was like they did the first championship, put their name on the Marshall Cup, and then left. In the history book. But the show started back, actually, way back in 2008, so.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's too bad. They pulled the Boobie Miles. That's too bad.
They were the precursor to the Boobie Miles. Let's go to the teams. And I ask you this, Joe. Let's just hit the new teams because we know the standard teams. We know Italians. It's SBD. It's the Bar. I'll throw New Order in there. Mustangs now have gotten their winning. So they're in their third season, I believe, as a franchise. Let's just hit the three new franchises: the Phoenix Bulls, Acting Crazy, and Hot Boys. You know anything about these teams, Joe?
I know that Acting Crazy was a good team. That's who we played week one. But you know what? I had to work. I didn't get a chance to really see any of the other teams. Unfortunately, not until this weekend, I won't be able to really speak on them too much. I know the Bulls have a couple players that, you know, I've played in the league before. But as far as everybody else, I'm not really too sure, to be honest with you, Matrix.
Yeah, and this is, and I can give you a little rundown, like I said, with the make sure I got this right. The Hot Boys basically took CJ, Cuddy, and one other player from Library Blitz. So they're the cousin of Library Blitz. Basically, CJ took that team, formed his own team. Phoenix is in essence is in its DNA is the Warriors. So Mike, Rob Smith, then Ian, and a couple one other player, maybe the Juggernaut, all split off, and now they're the Phoenix. And they even picked up
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
So he's actually helming the quarterback there. Go spin it on the other end. The other new franchise, the Bulls, have Mike from the Eagles. So he split off and said, okay, well, no, it's time for me to do my own thing. And then Action Crazy actually is Johnny Norton from the Stallions.
Yep, Johnny and Knox and them. Yep.
So they
put on. If they can get a QB going there, they're going to be a good squad. But they did all right. I mean, for the first game playing together, they did all right. They did pretty well. They hung in there with us.
And that's the key, you know, with the new teams, it's always sort of tough to watch them, not in a bad way. It's just that, yeah, they got to learn the rules. They got to learn the pace of the game. We get tons of players who play under the whistle, under the helmet, but it's just a different pace of the game because the game moves. It is almost like I said, it's like a soccer / lacrosse hybrid, so you just got to get into the pace. But if those two teams can get through that, particularly a real, real new team, if they can get through the learning curve just knowing the rules, then eventually the football kind of comes, you know. But you do see the new team struggle, moving the ball, just understanding the rules, the play calling, so the pace of the rushers, so I think to get those new teams, you know, that's the key, that if everyone wants to start their own team, you sort of have to have a good rusher, a decent quarterback, reliable females, and just a very basic game plan. You know, because if you go up there and watch the bar and SBD, you're going to feel, you're going to feel a little bit behind the curve, but those teams have been doing it for a while. Before we bring in the callers, one other thing, too, and I know if you knew this, Joe, the Eagles, I don't know if you knew this in the offseason, the Eagles picked up or, I guess, returned Hare. From Brian Hare from the SBD went back to the Eagles. They picked up Mark Steeper from the SBD. And then they've got Brett back there and a pretty good-looking rookie back in the secondary. So does the Eagle secondary become the best in the league?
Oh, I don't know about the best in the league, but they certainly made some improvements.
Well, let's go line by line. I mean, you got three defensive MVPs in your secondary. Does another team have that sort of resume in their secondary?
Well, I mean, not as far as MVPs, but you put the bar there with Chuck's cousins and them. You put NWO with Jeff and them who haven't won it, but they're certainly in the running for it every year. So I think they definitely made some improvements, but as far as them being the best, I can't say they're number one yet.
Oh, and I forgot to tell you this, too. They picked up Jamil, Hall of Famer, on the offseason. I mean, in terms of the free agency, I think the Eagles win. They are winning.
I definitely think they won free agency. Yeah, I give them that. But as far, I mean, it's only been 1 week. We'll see how they play together.
All right, real quick, let's take a call. Here's what we do. I think we got three calls on the board. We got a call from the 267. Hopefully, Gordon, before we fire Gordon out of phase one and throw him in phase two, he still has to apply for his job. But let's take a quick call. The 267, they've been holding on for about 15 minutes. Let's bring them in, see if they want to talk. Two things. Hey, if you call in, obviously we'll hit the calls who we need to hit to. We'll hit the scores, hit the highlights, kind of just do a little backtracking in terms of the podcast history, move forward, talk about some news events, particularly location of the games, give everyone some information. Then we'll call it a night. So let's call, take a call. We got this call from 267. Give them a chance here. You're live on the podcast with Joe C and T Matrix. Who are we talking to? And they could not hold on. Let's go down another call for the 267. Let's see if we can bring this point one this call in. You are listening live. You're listening live
to
the podcast. Who are we talking to?
Talking to El Nino.
El Nino.
Oh, man.
El Nino.
Yo.
So, El Nino, word has it, Gordon tells me, that you now are picking games for the season. Is this true?
Yeah, I'm just picking.
So give it to me, because, you know, there's a little, with like Facebook answer. Why are you not playing this season?
A little bit of a personal reason.
Okay.
Just got to do what I got to do with my personal life first, and then I'll be back in the fall.
Okay, no, that's a good point, because what I really feel on the show, and just in general, is that there's 99 things you have to take care of in your life, your family, your life, your job. Like, this should be, the flag football should be 100 on your list, so I definitely can respect that. Because I know you said, I think Gordon told me you posted your pick on Facebook, but give us the pick this week. We'll hit last week's game, but give us a rundown of this week's game.
All right, give me 1 second. Let me get to it. Oh, yeah, by the way, hi,
dude.
Kind of quiet.
Let me know when you're ready.
All right, I'm ready. For the
right,
first game,
yeah, I mean,
only
parents.
All right,
the
first
you
game.
You got your radio on? I hear some feedback. You got your radio up?
That ain't me.
That ain't you. All right, so give me your pick.
All right. Hot Boys versus the Bar. I got the Bar winning. SBD versus the Stallions. I got SBD winning.
SBD,
Stallions,
okay.
Versus the Stallions versus the Bulls. I got the Stallions winning. SBD versus Phoenix. I got SBD winning. New World Order versus the Bulls. Got New World Order. Phoenix versus the Eagles. The Eagles. Action Crazy versus the Mustangs. Of course, I'm taking my boys, the Mustangs.
That's a game of the week right there, too.
Action Crazy versus Mustangs?
Yeah, that's going to be the game of the week.
Yeah. Hopefully, it's going to be a good game. I wish I can beat her to see it, but.
So, any scores? Any scores for these games? I mean, what's the closest game you've seen, like of the game of the week? I guess one of the games. What's your prediction on score?
I really can't tell because I really don't know who's on the teams. I just know who's on the Mustangs. I'm not really sure who's on Action Crazy. I just like all I heard was Johnny Norton, and from what I've been told, Knox.
So Joe, if you want, because you obviously just paid Action Crazy. What's your breakdown of the team? I mean, even if you take the Mustangs of last year around, I think they have one or two new players. But for the most part, right, that's a team that's going to win two or three games a season. I mean. What's in action's favor this season in terms of their style of play?
You know what? It's going to be tough for them. They're a little rough. They like, you know, they play football. So, you know, they're going to press you a little bit. They're going to, you know, I know they had to be warmed a couple times for kind of lowering their shoulder a few times. But, you know, once they get all that, they have a lot of good athletes that have clearly played in other division, or, you know, in other leagues. You know, they're fast, they fly around. Their quarterback was, you know, he didn't get sacked too many times. The field conditions weren't great like everyone played on, so we know that, you know, that probably hurt a little bit of both sides. But, you know, they're a good team. Mustangs look real good, though. I haven't seen their new quarterback, though. But the Mustangs are good. So I think that's going to be the game of the week to watch right there. I think Action Crazy might actually slip one by, and I think they're going to win by a touchdown.
So you got Action Crazy winning by a touchdown?
I got Action Crazy, yeah, against the Mustangs, yep. But you know that touchdown could go either way, but I'm going to give it to Knox and them.
Well, I mean, can't argue. That's your opinion.
Oh yeah, that's all.
Like you said,
because Mustangs. Mustangs could easily. I won't say easily, but Mustangs could definitely pull off the W too.
Definitely.
Well, let me put it out to both of you. I mean, since we talked that at the beginning of the show, I'll throw your case up there. I mean, obviously, sight unseen, haven't seen them play really. And let's take NW off the table just because, right, those two teams played in the championship. Is there really a team out there that really can at-bats either one of those two teams. Obviously, we haven't seen action crazy, but in my mind, it's rare. Barr was one of the only few teams that did that to come in the league sort of, you know, as a new team and make an impact. I mean, do any of these other eight teams have a shot to get to the championship, particularly the Eagles? I mean, I don't know if you heard this part, portion of the show, but right, the Eagles picked up help in their secondary. Do you think this is the year in which the Eagles can finally, at some point this year, get to the championship?
I think they could. I mean, I think they're going to have to beat us, but, you know. if you got to take NWO off the table, I mean, yeah, I mean, they're probably next in line.
Well, let me ask you this. Are they capable? Good point. Because maybe they don't beat you. Maybe they beat the Bar. Are they capable of beating you or the Bar at this point?
I don't know about that.
Okay.
I mean, it's any given Sunday. It's any given Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, really, you really can't tell. I mean, think about it. I'm not sure if y'all remember that team. What's that one team that wore green when we played on the other field? It wore green and blue. It was like a neon green. It was Greg Moten's team. But they beat. I think they beat NWO for their first loss, and nobody would expect that.
When they had Skino, I know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
they had Skino and Kevin Flynn and all of them. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, there you go. I couldn't really remember the name of the team. So.
I don't remember the name of the team either, but.
Are you referring to the Patriots?
No, it was more recent. More recently.
Yeah. Okay.
It was when we played on the other field.
FNF.
No, it wasn't FNF.
No.
Because Flynn played for him, and, man, who the heck's this?
Sheen.
Flynn, Skino. I don't remember the name.
Yes, I know who it was. It was Run for Cover.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, but like, well, they beat NWO when NWO was, you know, was going undefeated.
Yeah, well, we didn't have half our players in there, bro.
No,
that's
not big.
Like,
no.
They can only play who they play.
Yeah, but I'm saying, though, like, you know, anybody can win any given day. I mean, that year, NWO won the championship.
I mean, well, so good point. That's a good segue into week one. I mean, let's look at the scores, kind of having that conversation. If we take let's look at the leaderboard. Even SPD now started to slip because even if you look at week one score, Bar Right beats Phoenix by over 40. NWO Right beats Action Crazy, right? Not kind of a, it is a squeaker, 13-6. Eagles beat, and I mean soundly now, they beat SPD pretty soundly, 32-6. Without Scott at quarterback, Sunshine played quarterback, and the defense would just stifle Dom. And SPD sort of looks, yeah, they always run, they always replenish, but they definitely need help on the outside now. Only their quality receiver that they have is Matt, but he needs help. Mustangs beat the Bulls 32-6, and then the Hot Boys lose to the Stallions 2012. So if Eagles now are maybe improved, there's no other team, the other seven teams are just basically fighting for what, a second-round loss?
Pretty much. And don't forget Benzo. Shout out to Benzo. The Eagles picked up Benzo, too.
Thank you for reminding me, Joe. So that's now. Benzo is a Hall of Famer. I don't care what you tell me.
I would never disagree with that.
He's a first-ballot Hall of Famer. So the Eagles now have two Hall of Famers, three defensive MVPs, an experienced GM, two females, actually maybe even three Hall of Famers, because I think Tara may go in the Hall of Fame. This is definitely a good case for her to go in the Hall of Fame.
Well deserved.
Not necessarily the best female of all time, but definitely the most consistent, prolific female of the game, because Jamila, obviously, talent-wise, is there. So, I mean, is this the Eagles' last sort of run at the championship?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so.
If this is their best chance, if they don't get it done this season, then they're going to be joining back up with another team.
Okay. Okay. That's valid. Valid point.
Yeah, really don't have nothing to say about that one because I can't. Like I said, I can't. I'm not there to tell. But
Nino, come on, man. You gonna bite your tongue right now?
All right. I think that they still gonna have a chance to win the championship, even if they don't succeed this year.
What did they promise you, a jersey next year or what?
Nah, I'm just like
that's why you're talking like that, man. They got you a jersey for you, ready? Wait.
Nah. They're really consistent. They're in the playoffs every year. You know, they
everybody's in the playoffs.
I know. They do good in the playoffs, I meant to say. I got my words mixed up. They do good in the playoffs every year. You know, they get to that one game right before the championship. That's it. But, you know, they're consistent with it.
Fair enough. Now, let's talk about a couple other things, too, before we go, Nino. Another thing is that, yes, at the moment, this week, this is the big news here, this week, the games will not be at Bob Case. The games will be, let me get the name of the facility right. It is, let me sure I got the name right. It's actually down the street from the school, but it's not going to be held at Bob Case. There's just some issues going on where they have to get the field ready. There's obviously been a little change. Most of the players know that there's been a change in the schedule in terms of that field basically won't be accessible all day. Bob Case is being shared with a soccer league. So I want to get the name of the school right and the address before I throw that out there. I will dig that up. Yeah, actually, the game this week, let me make sure I got this right, will be at the Belmont School. Okay? It's 200 Anderson Road in King of Prussia. Okay? So games this week will be 9 o'clock game, Hot Boys Bar and SBD Stallions, 10 o'clock Stallions Bulls Phoenix SBD, New World Order Bulls at 11, Eagles Phoenix at 11, and then the last game will be Action Crazy versus the Mustangs. So just check the website. Even for those of you on social media, you can also check the Facebook page as well. I believe in probably Instagrammed out too if you're not sharing that. And then the other, and then make sure, like I said, once you get on Anderson Road, it'll be called the Belmont School, but it's in the Patan Building, P-A-T-T-A-N. So that's the games for March 12th. Will not be at Bob Case. So anyone listening to this or you hear this, please let your teammates know that it's the Bob Case field is not being used this week. Actually, when you pull into the Patan Building, you actually have to drive around the back, and then you have to park and go up to the field. Actually, two fields would fit there, but it'll give you the feeling like the old Shea Stadium where a portion of the field is on the softball field. But there's enough room for both teams to play. Actually, in the year that FNF won the championship, I believe that's where the whole season was played there. So please get the word out. Another word out that I want to have new information is there is an app for the league, GIN. It's on the mobile website for the library, for iTunes and Apple and Google. Basically, all the team stats are loaded. So all you have to do is sort of download the app, search for your team. I'm on the UNPR, so it'll be UNPR Bulls or Bar, and then you can track all your team stats. So that's something that, yeah, we know most players aren't going to go to the website, but they will have a phone. So those are sort of two new changes to the league. So that just sort of, in terms of comparing stats or making sure they're accurate, the league obviously always asks everyone to update the stats, but trying to get into the 21st century in terms of just keeping updated information to the players. So that being said, Nino, any thought? Now, one thing, last question I want to ask you, if I let you go.
Okay.
Obviously, Joe, you don't have to answer this. Do you think, the Bar wins this? Now, never happened before. We have never had a team win three straight. Does the Bar win three straight and make history? They're already in history books, but no teams have a three-peat.
I don't think so. I don't think they can get this third one.
Okay, so you say no.
No, I don't think they get this third one.
I think Joe, I have to ask you.
Yeah, Joe's going to say hell no.
Well, let me ask you this. Okay, let's go back a step. Because NWO now is looking for the second. So I want to kind of get the pecking order here. NWO is looking for two. SPD is looking for two. Giants are looking for three.
FNF, if they were ever to return by a miracle, they're looking for three. And then the Bars got two back-to-back, and you throw in the E-Money, and then everything. Oh, you throw in the E-Money and a Bowie Miles and a Partridge and a Pear Tree, and then you got the whole stack. If the Bar does win their third in a row, how long do you think they would play? I mean, do they just keep playing and then win 10 championships and become the Celtics of this league?
I mean, I guess. I mean, if they can keep winning, I mean, why not stop? Why stop? You know, why stop something if you can't and nobody can beat it?
I agree. I think they're enough. I think they're competitive enough that they're going to play until they feel old enough that they're done.
Exactly.
I don't think the number of championships is going to matter. I think it's just how they feel.
Okay. Because age-wise, let's talk real age here. Let's not talk about flag football age. I mean, real age. The Bar is a fairly young team. You take Chuck. Obviously, Chuck is. I'm saying flag football old. I mean, he's in his right. He's in his late 20s, early 30s. Chuck's probably about 33. Young guy. But you still not seeing anyone better who's able to evade a rusher. Although Brandon has all the tools, he just hasn't done it as long as Chuck has. So even if you back out Chuck off the equation, I mean, is Brandon a quarterback who can play quarterback for 7-8 seasons like Chuck has? Or and if this Eagles team was to win the championship, that's going to close everything into a tizzy too, because now they could maybe win back-to-back. Is it possible for the Eagles to win back-to-back championships starting this year? Because they're a fairly young team.
I mean, if they work hard enough, I mean, and if they could actually, you know, secure that game to get to the championship, I mean, I don't see why not.
Yeah, I think we're counting our chickens a little early, man, because they have all this good talent around them, and they do, and they've made the best offseason by far, but together they only have one win, just like most of us do. So, you know, I can't look down 2-3 seasons from now, you know. We'll see how they play together.
Yeah, definitely.
SDD. I mean, if I go back in the books, I have to get Gordon to check this. Can't necessarily remember them whacking SBD in the past. Honestly,
they've
had one victory against SBD, and it's obviously the different SBD.
Can I say something towards that?
Sure.
So, all right, and the Eagles just took a couple defensive weapons from SBD. Why wouldn't, you know, they weakened their defense? And I mean, you know, possibly some of their offense. You know, how can you really justify, you know, them not beating SBD? I mean, them beating SBD.
Well, if you think about it, one of the acquisitions, the only person they took from SBD, quote unquote, was Mark. Brian used to play with them, so he left them when they were not the Dolphins, but I think the Niners. He left the Niners to go to SBD. He just came back. So, in essence, they didn't really take Brian away because they all knew each other. That's how Harry got into the league. So, the only player that they took from SBD was Mark. Everybody else was an acquisition.
Yeah, but two-player swing and a seven-player.
They're all pickups.
A two-player swing and a seven-man roster or a seven-man fielding is, you know, that's a big change.
And you know, like I said, you know, them two were a big part of the SBD defense.
Oh, absolutely, no, without a doubt. I mean, absolutely. I think they even played on that same side. So you're basically taking a corner and a safety from one whole side of the defense, putting in there with Brett, who offensively and defensively obviously is a threat. And then you throw in there, like I said, he's a new player. I think his name is Ray. They got a new quarterback who's decent as well. He even caught a couple touchdowns. So maybe the Eagles sort of, and obviously I personally would have to see them get to the championship, but maybe they now will cruise into that game. I mean, maybe they cruise into being a one or a two seed.
I don't know about cruising, but.
No, you don't think cruise, Joe? Joe's like, nah,
I don't think cruise is the right word. I think they're going to have to bully their way up. I don't think they're cruising anyway.
Okay.
They're not. It's not going to be a cruising. They're going to get in there. They're going to have to fight and claw.
Okay. Fair enough. All right, Nino.
Thanks for coming on, man.
Nino, we're going to hit you up on Facebook because, like you said, I don't know if you know this is the last live show. show's not going anywhere. We're just going to a different phase. So we're going to have to give – Gordon's going to give you this week on terms of putting your segment on the new phase of the show. So just keep keep by your keep close to your Facebook this week.
Oh, man, I got – it's on my phone. I get the note, the notice like this.
What was that?
I said it's on my phone. I get the notice, like, real fast.
All right, cool, cool. So just – he's going to maybe like Monday or Tuesday after these week's games, and he'll hit you up. All right, you have a good week. We'll talk to you next week. Phase three. Phase
right,
two.
Time, yeah.
Peace, Nina. All
right, have a good
one.
All right, man. All right, so real quick, Joe, because we'll do this, hit this, and then we'll just sort of hit the episode. I don't see anyone else on the board, so I know we got a few listeners, but I don't see anyone with their hands up looking to dig it in, so it's a good segue. Real quick, because I just sort of want to recap some of the rules or some of the big issues from the captains meeting. The only big change, really, and there was a few proposals on the table, basically, the gender rule stays as is, but the only little caveat is that you cannot, at no point in the game, even if it's third and gender, even if it's first, second down, fourth down, a handoff to a female does not count as a gender play. What's your thoughts on that?
I agree. I never thought it was.
Okay.
Yeah. That shouldn't. If the ball doesn't go forward or past the line of scrimmage to a female, then that's not a gender play.
Okay. So let's say if it's first down and you hand off to her, if you get the DeMarco Murray of females and she can run down the field and score every time, if you hand it off to her on first down and she runs down the field for 20 yards and puts up a first down, it's still not a gender play. So that's a big, not a big rule, but it's a rule that, was a little confusion last week and the first week, so kind of want to make that clear. Not so much a minor rule, but just a reminder of a rule that, if the player catches the ball in an active motion and they catch it and their knee hits, they just have to be touched. Or if they're running, and I think this happened last year, this happened to Branford, where he tripped over a blade of grass. If he's running, he's tripped. He's not down, he just has to be touched. I mean,
if he gets up and takes off again, without being touched while his knee down, do you have to pull his flag at that point?
No. Once he's told nope. So if he catches the ball open field and he's running, he trips and his knee hits, he just has to be touched.
Okay, he just needs to be touched at that point. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So that would be basically. I remember the play. I think Gordon told me he threw it. He caught it in open field. Was going. Nothing to stop him. But kind of lost his momentum on that fourth or fifth step after possession, and he tripped. But then just had to be touched. Other than that, that's the major rule. That's pretty much the major rule change. The only sort of change that was kind of out there. Now, we're talking 100 episodes later. Believe me, we weren't talking about this in episode 1 and 2. In episode 1 and 2, we're talking about, hey, how do you get females on the team? Now we're talking about that the females want equal rights in the game. I mean, we're talking a whole different conversation, in terms of their status in the league. Obviously, you play with two really good females. Other thing, too, that came up, minor, is there was proposals to get rid of the punt, eliminate it. So if it's third down and you don't want to go for it on fourth, then the other team just gets possession on the 20. What's your thoughts on, at some point, if possible, getting rid of the punt?
Now, I like the punt. I think it adds another thing. I actually like the punt because I've seen – flight score on a punt, and if they have a bad punt, then that's an aspect of the game that you have to have. I like the punt. I like having it in there.
Okay. I think it was close. Obviously everything went to the front office for sort of a review, but it definitely was more teams, three or four teams that said, it's something you could think about getting rid of the punt. And think of it this way. If the get rid of the punt means you are punting, that means if you were kind of go for it on fourth, and you're going to give the other team possession, you're just getting an automatic punt. So in a sense, it is a punt. You just that, there was some...
Right, I get what you're saying.
Arguments that, hey, it's not everybody can run down a punter,
Yeah,
so it's sort of just putting everyone, hey, yes, you get automatic punt. You get the punt. You get a dead-on, spot-on punter and kicks to the 20 every time. So that was pretty much it, the only major changes or major sort of rules that come up. And as always, like I said, I think... the game to the new teams that this tends to become a challenge, but there was one thought about another. This is the last little thing. There wasn't much resistance to this. What would be your thought, Joe? Either getting rid of the run zone or backing it up to the 15. No run at all.
I actually like backing it up. I thought I remember a couple of years ago when you guys proposed that, and I actually kind of like that. I like backing it up a little bit. I wouldn't get rid of it because, you know, it's you're on the goal line, and but I like the idea of you know, backing it up a little bit, even to the 20.
I mean, because even when the run zone first got put into the game, yeah, it was maybe the talent level of the league now is such that you could get rid of the run zone. You could get rid of the no run zone because talent-wise, you do got sufficient rushing to sort of to maybe move that thing into the five. I mean, I don't think you should ever quarterback running it from the one. That just seems it just puts the rusher at a disadvantage once you're inside the five. But maybe maybe at the five, or you could possibly move it because at this point, you just have more contact. That was really the goal, to move the run zone back or put it in. That you just have a lot of contact. Everyone's trying to run it in. So the game, you know, with more females, the goal is everyone play good games, but be safe. So, you know, moving it back 5 yards makes a big difference because now you're having to sling it in there 15 from the 15. You know, strategically, it does change
right,
the game.
Right. Yeah, that's why I like that. Unless you and if you did take it away, you know, make every play a free blitz. If you're going to take, you know, every play from within the 5 yards or whatever, make it a free blitz so they. You know, they can't just run it in cheaply. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. 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 Absolutely.
But I like the idea. I like the idea of quarterbacks. Man, they just throw the ball. Move it back and let them throw the ball.
Okay. All right. We'll take that last caller as we run everything out of here. Let's do one thing. I'm just going to go back a little bit. Like I said, all 99 episodes are on blogtalkradio.com/flagfootball. You can listen to all the episodes. You know, like I said, actually the show historically started at midnight. We used to actually put the show on at midnight and just say, hey, look, is there anyone up at this time? Estad, myself, and the commission kind of just started the show really late night, you know, not to make it must-listen to, you know, an event, but we just sort of posted it up there so we could assume most people would sort of listen the next day. Then at one point we used to sort of we actually went during the week. We tried every night of the week, Monday, other than Monday, really, realistically, during the fall season, we tried every night of the week, Tuesday, Thursday, with the rigors of the season and, you know, with getting everything together from the front office, it just became more of a challenge sort of to do the shows sort of on a Monday or a Tuesday or a Wednesday. We did settle in recently in the last couple of years to a Friday slot. But ultimately, I think with just these all new ways of getting the show to you, we're going to move to phase two, which it's exciting. I mean, some of it's been a little bit in play for about a year now, but when we kind of roll it out, everyone will kind of get what we'll need. In essence, the show will be more accessible to everyone, and through that app engine, it'll be rescue. We'll probably reach more people once that kind of gets up and going. But all the shows are up there. Like I said, the first show we did was on October 1st. At 2009, and it was at midnight. So we used to do the show at midnight, even did a couple 1 a.m. shows, some shows we did in the morning. So, you know, like I said, if you go back and listen to some of those early shows, you just get a sense of the evolution of the league. You know, you pretty much get a Hall. We actually did interviews with every Hall of Famer there is at some point. Even if you listen to those middle 30, 40 shows, really good shows where we kind of talk to all the newer players that were up and coming, some players who are no longer in the league, some teams who are no longer in the league. So if you just want to get a good, you know, list of the history, go back and listen to the shows. Kind of what we'll do in phase two is we'll kind of put like a best of those shows in a little package and kind of have everybody listen to just to get a little perspective. But like I said, if you like the show, go back and listen to the old shows. I mean, they're still up there posted. You can still listen. One thing we found out is that most people like to download the show as opposed to listen live. So you said we'll deliver the show, but it'll be a little different format. Joe, from your end, I'm just curious, before we take this last call, what's been your favorite show that you were part of, or you heard, or how did you hear about the podcast? I mean, what were your thoughts when you heard that your league had a podcast?
Oh, man, I loved it, man. When I started listening, Chica was the co-host, man. It was a good time. It was a good time. I don't know if I have a specific one that I loved more than the other ones, but you know, I always listened every week, even if I didn't ring in or anything. I was always on. I loved listening to it. Yeah, it's been fun. I like the music. We used to, you know, we all used to come out to the music before, and that was cool. And I mean, it's just been fun to watch over the years.
Cool, cool. Like I said, and that's a good point you bring up. I mean, we've had with Estad and Tamish, and we've had not tons of co-hosts, but every year what we try to do is kind of rotate a player in the league. So, right, Chica, if anything, she was an amazing co-host because she would run the live chat room when that was going at one point, and she would not hold back. So she was, I mean, thank you to her. We had Kieran one season with us from the formerly of the SPD, played a little bit with the Bar, but known mainly, won a championship with SPD in that famous season where they wear the shorts and the tank tops, and really go back and listen to those shows. Actually, if you listen to that show, I think it's called The Ladies of SPD. Great interview. I mean, basically that interview, Joe, they basically said, I don't know if you ever heard that show, but if you go back and listen to that show, basically herself and Jen, who she got into the Hall of Fame, basically she said, listen, we're women, we're going to play a man's game, but we're not going to dress like in no baggy shorts and men's size t-shirts. We're going to dress like ladies. So I don't know if you saw them play, but even the picture alone on the link is amazing. So they basically, that just changed everything, because then it wasn't like, okay, just women who just wanted to play football. They literally kept their femininity, not that women don't, but they just brought that whole different level of dress to the league, which we never saw before. So that was amazing. So, tons of shows. So what we will do is, I don't know if that COVID held on. So what we're going to do is we're going to wrap things up. We'll see everybody in week 2. Remember that the games are at the Anderson School off Anderson Street, 200 Anderson Road. All right. So everyone, just make sure you check the website, check the Facebook page. Joe, any final thoughts?
Oh, you know what? I just want to say congratulations to you guys, man. It's, you know, thank you for bringing me in and having me part of this, man. I really do appreciate it. And congratulations on everything. And, you know, I hope we can continue to see the league build like it has been.
All right. Well said. Like I said, this ends phase one. Like I said, I want to thank everyone, the commish, Estad, all our co-hosts, all our guests, Dom. I can't even name every guest we've had. We've had Benzo and Bev and GM, and like I said, we're kind of in phase 2. Thank everyone who came on the show, but I can't even thank everyone who's helped produce the show, who's helped run it, who's helped on the graphics, everything. Thank you for getting us to 100 in phase 1. We will be back next week with phase 2, but like I said, I will definitely get the Flag Football Advisory Board back in there in phase 2. So thank you. See everybody next week. Check the scores, the highlights on the website, and we'll see everybody in week 2.
All right, see you.